attempting to separate themselves from the chaos, death, and destruction, and not taking sides, is a small Jewish sect who identified with the Jewish rabbi named Jesus. Jesus, a man they claimed to be resurrected and the true Messiah. It was to these individuals and those willing to listen that Mark addressed his gospel. His presentation of the good news written somewhere around 70 current era. Mark framed the good news in the context of Jewish prophetic voices and a spiritual leader named John the Baptist, a man known personally by some of the author's audience. Consider that the Gospel of Luke begins with the birth story of John the Baptist. The Gospel of Matthew begins with the birth story of Jesus. The Gospel of John with the beginning of time. For Mark and his Jewish Christian community, their faith was based on their understanding of their Jewish roots and the unfolding of God's promise, his covenant. This is their beginning. The Gospel of Mark is thought by many to have been the first gospel written, and certainly written at a time of crisis. The first verse, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is thought by some to have actually been the title of the book. This declaration of Jesus as the Son of God is all the more radical when considering that many contemporary Roman coins place this phrase next to the portrait of the emperor. Mark chose quotations from the prophets Isaiah and Malachi to historically, theologically underpin the nature of Jesus and his mission. Specifically, in their entirety, are Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice cries out, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And Malachi 3:1, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Isaiah speaks to the hope of God's intervention to restore Israel from Babylon's exile. While the first listeners of Mark's Gospels were not in exile, they lived under a brutal foreign regime, desperate for God's intervention. Malachi 3:1, speaking of Elijah, also looks forward to God's intervention. Elijah's call is not for restoration, but for repentance. Both speak to God's actions on behalf of those waiting. John the Baptizer calls for repentance while also prophesying the coming of the one more powerful than I, Jesus, and the arrival of the Holy Spirit. As logical as this outline of restoration of community, repentance, and the arrival of the Messiah and Holy Spirit appear, I have to admit that as I considered this reading, I was struck by the question, who is John the Baptist and what made him so special? On first thought, it seems rather obvious. He was a herald, proclaiming that one more powerful was coming after him. John the Baptist, otherwise known as John the Forerunner, John the Immerser, Saint John, and Prophet Yahweh, as one living in the wilderness, was calling for individual repentance. And yet, out of all the Jewish prophets and religious leaders over at least 1,000 years of history, why him? In truth, we know relatively little about John the Baptist. The four Gospels are inconsistent in references to his life and work. Josephus, in the first century writing, notes that John the Baptist was feared as a significant threat by Herod Antipas, who eventually had him executed. John spoke truth to power. The Gospel of Luke claims that John was Jesus' older cousin. Today's gospel characterizes John as one who wore uncomfortable clothes and ate exotic, otherwise known as yucky, food. He was a very popular preacher and teacher with followers throughout Judea, Jerusalem, and beyond. Tradition holds that John was born before Jesus and that John began his ministry in the late 20s of the current era. John and Jesus interacted and held each other in high regard. It is quite possible that Jesus is at one time associated with John's movement, and clearly John baptized Jesus. The gospel writers state John's death preceded Jesus, although the chronology reported by Josephus calls that in question. The character and ministry of John is compelling. We are told in the Gospel of Luke that John was born into a priestly family, born to privilege. His father, Zechariah, was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. John chose to live in the wilderness of Judea. His ministry emanated from the emotional, spiritual wilderness known even by us. For the Jews in exile, the wilderness was a place of wild beasts, temptation, sin, and bewildering wandering. We can think of wilderness as a metaphor for lostness, exile, and homelessness. T.S. Eliot characterized it this way: the desert is not remote in southern tropics. The desert is in the heart. John spoke to the wilderness of people's lives in Jesus' time, in 70 of the current era, and to us today. John is honored for his humility. Despite his ministry's fame and success, he was not prideful. He understood his role as herald and prophetic voice, knowing that it was not about him. He is reported in the Gospel of John to have denied being the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet. He faithfully said what he had to say and did what he had to do, for which he paid the ultimate price. Much has been written suggesting that John was influenced by the Essene community, the authors of the Dead Sea Scrolls. He may have lived with them for a period before initiating his own ministry. The Essenes believed that the end of the world was near and the Messiah would come to fulfill in fulfillment of prophecy. There was an emphasis on repentance of sin. They lived as ascetics, isolated in community, practiced celibacy and ritual baptism. John, however, was not an Essene. The imagery of the prophet Elijah was prominent in John's ministry. Elijah, according to the Book of Kings, lived in the 9th century BCE. He was a prophet and a miracle worker. He was credited with performing a resurrection. He was said to have entered heaven alive, and according to the Book of Malachi, Elijah would return before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Elijah's presence would herald the coming of the Messiah. It is not hard to envision the impact of John, dressed as Elijah is thought to have, preaching and teaching of the judgment coming with the end of time, at a time when many believe the world was ending. He called people to ethical behavior and piety towards God. Listeners were called to repentance in preparation for the arrival of the Messiah. The late 20s and early 30s of the Common Era were ripe for the anticipation of a Messiah, and people flocked to him and be baptized as a sign of repentance. John baptized all comers, including tax collectors and prostitutes. He baptized the whole nation, according to Luke, and according to Josephus, others thought to possibly refer to Gentiles. He had a huge following, and many of his disciples became disciples of Jesus. There is evidence that the cult of John the Baptist existed for at least 200 years and spread outside the Holy Land. In Acts, we read of Paul encountering some of John's disciples in Ephesus. John the Baptist was not just a herald, pointing his finger to identify the one more powerful than I. He was a prophet, the last prophet in the Eastern tradition, and a prophet to the Muslims. He was a man of integrity who welcomed all into community. He was an empathetic pastor who spoke to people's pain and loss as a symbol of hope. For the first readers of the book of Mark, this introduction to the good news, this contextual introduction to Jesus, draws on their understanding of history as Jews. It spoke to them in their present context, to the wilderness in which they lived, to the person John, that many of them or their parents had met and respected. This is Mark's Advent statement, the arrival of Jesus and the immediate start of his ministry. Unlike the other three Gospels, Jesus the Rabbi, a man of action and sanctioned by his Creator, is present at the very beginning of Mark's presentation of the good news. Those beleaguered early Christians, as is the case for us today, did not have to wait any longer. Messiah had arrived, and the Holy Spirit was amongst them. Amen.